It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrich. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, fewer and fewer people are going hunting in the United States. We'll find out why that can mean trouble for protecting endangered species. First, any fan of the Golden Girls will know that cheesecake was a staple in their kitchen.
I figured this might happen, so I went out and bought a cheesecake.
Oh, Rose, that's great.
What's really great is they fired that gray-haired baker who refused to wear a mask.
Well, let's slice this baby up and see if we can solve our Sophia problem. Here, darling.
Yeah, oh, do you know how many problems we have solved over a cheesecake at this kitchen table?
No, Dorothy, exactly how many?
147.
Cheesecake is one of those desserts that's great to eat at a restaurant. Making it at home can be a little intimidating. You want to get the consistency right and maybe figure out how to use a springform pan. Our in-house cooking expert has been experimenting with cheesecakes, and she's here to tell us what she learned. Lori Skelton is a WPR classical music host and a Food Friday regular. Lori, welcome back.
Well, here's one thing I learned, that Bea Arthur was a fantastic actress because she hated cheesecake.
And she had to eat it.
And she had to eat
camera,
it on
camera.
And looked
like she appreciated it. Wow, that is impressive. And you have some other deeper history of cheesecake to share with us before we get into, you know, how to make it.
I did not realize this goes back to ancient Greece.
Wow.
They mention it in a cheesecake. A Greek physician mentions it about 5 centuries BCE. The first recipe comes from Roman Cato the Elder. He was an historian, and he actually mentions baking the crust separately from putting a fat cheese into it and flavoring it, maybe
wow.
throwing in a little bit of egg yolks.
Cheesecake delendo est, they used to say. Cheesecake must be destroyed.
Preferably with fruit topping.
By eating it, yeah.
And what we think of as cheesecake today really came about in the 18th century in England, but there are references to putting firm cheese and eggs flavored with ginger, cinnamon, and saffron in a crust and baking it as far back as around 1390 in English cookbooks.
Wow.
So it's been around a long time.
It's got a rich tradition. Well, let's take it to today. One thing that we learned on this experiment is there is a huge amount of variety in the world of cheesecake and some of the samples that you made and brought into us.
One thing that most people seem to agree on is, yeah, fun flavors are fun flavors, but I want a good plain vanilla cheesecake. That said, what a good plain vanilla cheesecake will vary from person to person. If you like the what we call New York style, the really dense, the really thick, feels like a brick if it falls on your foot kind of cheesecake, you can make it with almost the same ingredients as something that's a little bit lighter and fluffier, but it's the method you use. If you're baking it without a water bath around it, if you're just baking it in the springform pan on a tray in your oven, that's going to give you a denser cheesecake than if you bake it in a water bath. And then, of course, there's the no-bake version. Sometimes you use gelatin. Sometimes you use other thickening agents. The standard Philadelphia brand no-bake cheesecake has Cool Whip that's folded into Neufchâtel cheese. That will give you, again, a different texture. So it's not just about the flavor. It's about how you like to bake it. I know that Cook's Illustrated or America's Test Kitchens has on their website same ingredients, but depending on how you combine them and how you bake them, out of the same list of ingredients, you can get 3 styles of plain vanilla cheesecake.
I know a common pratfall with your basic traditional cheesecake and some others, a baked version, people don't like it when it's cracking on the top.
Right.
I don't mind it. I'm still going to eat it. But assuming you don't want that aesthetic thing, that fault line on it, how do you avoid that?
You have to think of cheesecake the way you would think of a baked custard. You never bake a custard until it's completely firm all the way through. You take it out when there's still a little bit of jiggle in the middle. You have to let a cheesecake sit on the counter and cool at least an hour in the springform pan before you unmold it. You have to resist the urge to dig in right away. You need to let it rest before unmolding. Ideally, cheesecake should chill at least 6 hours before you eat it. Some of the vegan or the refrigerator cheesecakes I came up with are actually better if they're frozen first. Mm.
Now, different kinds of cheese you can use in your basic cheesecake. There's a variety, it sounds like.
Basic cream cheese, good old American cream cheese, is the one we think of all the time. That's made using exclusively milk. I mentioned Neufchâtel a few minutes ago. That's a combination. Neufchâtel is milk exclusively. Cream cheese is milk and cream. But there is also ricotta, mascarpone. You can fold in sour cream, or a lot of people will top a cheesecake with sour cream. Heavy cream, condensed milk. There's a condensed milk called Milnot that apparently has a cheesecake recipe on the back. I read it. It's you do a lot of whipping of air into this, but that's a little less cream cheese and a lot of condensed milk. It gives you, again, a different texture, probably a sharper, sweeter taste than a standard baked cheesecake. But yes, you can get incredibly creative with the dairy you use. What you're aiming for is something that's much, much thicker than the egg custard base. That's what differentiates cheesecake from quiche.
Talking to Lori Skelton on Food Friday. We are cooking cheesecake. You can join in with your cheesecake favorites and questions at 800-642-1234. Lori, you mentioned ricotta, and that takes us to one of the recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday. You adapted a Lydia Bastianich recipe. She's been on the show a couple few times. Tell us about this one.
This is a very specific cheesecake for Rome, and you take ricotta and a fair amount of egg, 3 eggs and 1 extra egg yolk, sugar. She recommends a tablespoon of orange zest. I actually used more than that on mine. Heavy cream in this, and then toasted sliced almonds. And this is another one where you beat the cheese layer of the cheesecake, get a lot of air into this. The other thing that Lydia does for this Roman cheesecake, she doesn't use the standard ground cookies or graham crackers for a crust. She actually makes an enriched pastry crust with extra sugar and egg, and then she rolls it out and puts that in the bottom. I cheated when I made mine. My enriched dough was coming out a little crumbly to begin with, so I just patted it in the bottom of the springform pan and put the cheese on top of it. Now, this is one that I had originally made for a dinner party, and I told Wisconsin Public Radio co-workers, I'll bring in the leftovers the day after the party.
Uh-oh.
And when I was serving the cheesecake, everybody said, oh, just a little piece. And then they kept nibbling at it for the rest of the night. There were no leftovers. This probably was my favorite of all the cheesecakes I tried for this
experiment.
Well,
rub it in. Yeah.
Well, all right. So I'll tell you what. I'll make you one during the pledge drive.
You've made plenty of cheesecake for this one. I want to check out another. And this was kind of a mind-blowing one.
No kidding.
A no-bake. And you ended up adapting it to be a vegan recipe. And, you know,
vegan,
the common cheesecake ingredient, avocado?
This was something that we tried as a sweet dessert in Florida, an avocado cheesecake, nice and fat and dense, with lime curd, creme fraiche, and chocolate shards for decoration. Boyfriend said, see if you can make me another avocado cheesecake. And when I found on the Food Network a no-bake version that had avocado as the main thickening ingredient with a little bit of cream cheese, I thought, I'll bet I can adapt this and make this vegan, gluten-free. And so I used an almond base, like a cream cheese spread, blended in with avocado and lime and coconut. I thought people would take a polite bite and say, interesting, especially because I couldn't use heavy cream, which was the other thing they used to thicken it. And then I found if you roast whole onions in their skins for about an hour and take just the inner part of that roasted onion and blend it with a little bit of lemon juice, it becomes a really good substitute for heavy cream to thicken things. And yeah, that avocado lime coconut cheesecake was gone within 15 minutes.
Yeah, on paper, this shouldn't work.
But it did.
And I liked it. It didn't taste like onion at all with this trick. I didn't really taste the avocado gave it texture, but not the flavor. flavor of avocado. It was really good.
I was stunned. And this was one where I did freeze it, and I think that helped.
That was a good idea, definitely. Talking to WPR's own Lori Skelton about cheesecake on this edition of Food Friday. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a cheesecake question, a favorite recipe to make, a favorite kind of cheesecake to eat? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk now with Lori Skelton on Food Friday. We are talking about cheesecake and all its infinite varieties. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your cheesecake hits and misses, your questions, your favorites, 800-642-1234. Find some recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll go right to your calls now. Joan is with us in Dundee. Joan, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what do you have for us, Joan?
Well, I actually found a recipe for if they're savory cheesecakes. And one of them that I make is salmon and sour cream and chives. And another one is a Mexican cheesecake. And I also have one that I didn't try yet, which is walnut, pears, and blue cheese.
I got to ask you, Joan, Lori made a savory one, and we'll get into that in a minute. What kind of reaction do you get? Do people freak out at the savory cheesecake? Is it too weird for them?
Until they eat it.
Okay, and then they like
it. Until they eat it, yeah. They like it. The Mexican cheesecake, you cook it, it's just like the basic cheesecake recipe with like a taco seasoning. And then when it's almost done cooking, you put some sour cream on the top. And then when you serve it, you put, like, salsa if you wish, and then eat it with a chip. And everybody, like,
fantastic,
devours
Joan.
It.
So you serve it as an appetizer or, like, a side dish, right?
Yeah. And even if you're doing an appetizer, if you eat too much of it, it's beautiful.
Right. Now, you did a savory one, Lori. There was bacon involved. Tell us about this guy.
I'd seen a lot of savory cheesecakes that were plain with just something savory spread on top. And I wanted to try baking a cheesecake that had savory elements in it. So we did a crushed pretzel crust. We blended into the cream cheese dry mustard powder and thyme, and also a fair amount of crisp, crumbly bacon. I'd seen sweet cheesecakes that were maple sweetened and had bacon in it, playing off the pancakes and maple syrup thing. And I thought this would be pretty pleasant. I had one person tell me they thought it tasted good. Everybody else was like, at least when I brought it to Wisconsin Public Radio, everybody else was like, this isn't dessert. Cheesecakes are not, this should be quiche.
Right. Well, here's the thing. It tasted good. I don't think there's any arguing that. It's a marketing thing. I think you have to come up with a name for it that's not cheesecake. Because even I knew, I was like, okay, this is savory. It's not going to be sweet. But the word cheesecake, yeah, put me off of it. And I know you can't call it quiche, but it was really good. Like, the actual flavors together were great.
Mm. This is one where, like Joan, small servings. You can only eat a little of this. If anyone has a chance to try it, I definitely recommend the crushed pretzels for the crust. That went over really, really well. But I think we needed one extra texture in with the bacon, and I just couldn't nail that yet.
All right. We'll watch for future efforts. Thanks, Joan, for that call. We'll go now to Nancy in Milwaukee. Nancy, hi.
Hi. I feel your guest is making an error in how to avoid the crack in the top of the cheesecake, because what for me has been very effective is to bake it, not until it's entirely done. Just, well, most cheesecake makers know to what degree it is to be baked. But at that point, then, you turn off the oven, and you leave it in the oven with the door propped open about 5 or 6 inches. So this slow transition from the heat of the oven into a much lower temperature is what prevents the cracks. But when you take it out of a hot oven and immediately expose the whole of it to a much lower temperature, that's why the cracks form.
Hmm. Nancy, thanks for the call. I'm guessing people have different methods on keeping their integrity of their cheesecake.
I'll definitely keep that in mind for the thicker cheesecakes mm-hmm. that I do. I noticed with the last one that I made, we were starting to get some cracks around the edges, and I hadn't noticed that before. So it's a great idea, and it makes a lot of sense. Haven't had a problem with that, but then again, I don't normally make cheesecakes that rise above the sides of my springform pan. So that is definitely one to keep in mind. Thanks.
Thanks for the suggestion, Nancy. We'll go now to Terry with us in Ladysmith. Terry, hello.
Yes, hello.
What do you want to tell us about cheesecake, Terry?
Well, the biggest thing is you know, the no-bake is probably the best one that I've made. I mean, I've made baked ones, too. But the ingredients that I put in is coconut, cinnamon, condensed milk, and Philly cheese.
Yep.
Philly cream cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then top it with whatever you want, blueberries, strawberries, or cherries.
Fantastic, Terry. So no bakes work. And actually, yeah, Laura, you have some thoughts on the kind of things you put on top of our cheesecake.
All right. I realize this is slightly unscientific, but I just asked on my Facebook page, what's your favorite and why? Overwhelmingly, plain vanilla with some sort of fruit topping. So it's always adding some sort of acidic element to that lovely, thick, rich cheesecake, whether it's raspberry, strawberry, cranberry, or, of course, lemon and lime that could be drizzled throughout. There are other suggestions. Eggnog came up. Somebody puts dried berries in their plain cheesecake and lets them reconstitute. Some people change the cookies that you put on the bottom, but for the most part, go for plain with a little bit of acidic fruit, and you can't go wrong.
Thanks, Terry, for the call. We're talking to Lori Skelton on Food Friday. We are making cheesecakes today. I want to go back to the Golden Girls to set up one more of the recipes you brought us. Lori, here's a listen.
What's that? Oh, I'm sorry. I know it's awful, but I have this incredible sweet tooth.
What is it?
Cheesecake.
What kind?
Chocolate.
Oh, I think this could be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Well, that must have been early on in the run, but a chocolate cheesecake, and you got a chocolate caramel cheesecake, Lori.
The one problem I've run into with chocolate cheesecakes is that they can be too heavy, just too sweet.
Too heavy for some.
Yeah, well, all right.
Not for me.
So the recipe that I came up with came from Gourmet magazine in 1999, where you first make a warm caramel on top of the stove. Or if you want, you can get a jar of caramel sauce. Warm that up, beat into it, and melt bittersweet chocolate. Then when you've got that nice and liquid and smooth, then you add that to your cream cheese and a little bit of sour cream and eggs and vanilla. And you bake that on top of a crushed chocolate cookie crumb crust. And this seemed to come out for Wisconsin Public Radio and public television folks pretty good. Everybody said that they liked the fact that this wasn't too thick, it wasn't too heavy, and that that crumb crust was just a little bit bitter and a little bit crunchy. So it was a nice contrast to that chocolate caramel that was in the cheesecake. That said, I was using the Nabisco Famous chocolate wafers to make the crust. They are incredibly crispy. And I would actually use twice the amount of crumb crust for this particular cheesecake. Everybody liked that crunch, and I would like a little more texture with it. I think that's why some people think a chocolate cheesecake needs extra chips in it, or crushed peanut butter cups, or crushed Oreos, something to give it some crunch. I'd say go for the crunch in the crust.
We've got a link to that recipe, the chocolate caramel cheesecake. It's an Epicurious recipe. You can find that on the Central Time website at WPR.org. Let's go back to your calls now. Lisa is with us in Janesville. Lisa, hi.
Hi. One of the things that I do is when I'm first putting the batter together, I make sure not to beat it too fast and incorporate a large amount of air that throws off the structure. And I also do the same as the other guests, cool it slowly in the oven. I oftentimes will run a knife around the edge, a very thin one, because when the cheesecake cools, it contracts, and the fat adhering to the side of the pan can cause the cracking on the edges. And one of the favorite ones that I do for a recipe is homemade lemon curd, and I swirl that in the batter before I cook it.
So you swirl it in the batter. Does it end up mixing in, or do you get, like, bands of the lemon curd in the cheesecake, Lisa?
I'm sorry, what was that?
When you swirl it in, does it end up just oozing out and mixing in, or are there like separate like stripes of lemon curd mixed in?
Stripes of lemon curd.
It's like a marbled effect.
Cool. I love it. What do you think, Lori?
I think that sounds brilliant. It gives you that pop of citrus flavor and then, of course, the contrast with the plain cheesecake. I like the idea of slower beating. How long would you say a standard cheesecake takes you to actually incorporate all the ingredients?
Oh, maybe 15 minutes, but I go it very slowly, and I let everything mix each egg one at a time, but very slowly. So I don't get that air beaten in there.
That's really a great idea. I'm going to try that next time.
Fantastic. Thanks for that call. Time for one more call. Dawn is with us in Green Bay. Dawn, hello.
Hello. I was just listening and hearing about your savory bacon cheesecake, which, yeah, I'm not sure what I think of that. However, you said you couldn't think of what to add to it. And if I was trying to do that, I would think like chopped onion, maybe Vidalia, something not overly powerful, but for texture, maybe some dill. And I don't know if you could ever put something like shredded Swiss cheese or something in there, but there you go. That's all.
Interesting, Dawn. That's her recommendation to jazz up that savory cheesecake.
I did have onions in mine. What I did was I fried the bacon and then I sauteed the onions in the bacon fat.
Ooh, nice.
But I'm wondering if maybe you do something like those crunchy onions you put on top of green
bean casserole.
Maybe that's where the onion goes is on the top.
That'd be some good extra texture.
There you go.
Interesting. All right, Lori, are you off cheesecake for a while now, or does this inspire you to more experimentation?
Actually, thanks to everybody who called. These are some great ideas, and I want to go back in the kitchen.
Excellent. I look forward to it. Lori, thanks so much for joining us, as always.
Thank you.
That's Lori Skelton, WPR classical music host and Food Friday regular. She's with us today to talk about how to make cheesecake, lots of different kinds of cheesecake. You can check out a couple of her recipes online at WPR.org/Food Friday.